Father, we just thank you for this day, Father, for this day that you have made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we ask that you bless all our loved ones and bless the people that are not here today. Just hold them up in prayer, Father. We just ask that you just anoint them with your goodness and your mercy and your grace, Father, and your healing.
Yes.
Father, we ask that you bring forth your word, that it will be gladness and joy to our ears, Father.
Yes, amen.
Father, we just pray that this day will be a day of rejoicing for others, Father, that are not here. Father, we just ask for your mercy, your grace, and your love, and your protection, Father.
Thank you.
Just bless your people, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
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 Well, praise the Lord. Last week, I think we got down to about verse 22 in Romans, the 9th chapter. Maybe we can get it finished up this week. And in verse 22, I'll just pick up with that and then we'll go on from there. It said, what if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted unto destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath before prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. As he saith in OC, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. And you know, that's a tremendous, tremendous word there. Because what that really does is it lets you know about the sovereignty of God. It lets you know that he's in control. And it lets you know also that it's not about you being righteous, good, or any of those other things to try to accomplish what God wants you to do. It's about him showing mercy on whom he'll show mercy. And you know, I think I told you guys a little story about Mayhem last week, you know, mm-hmm. about how that, you know, in the book of Josephus, the story, Mayhem tells a story of how he went up and patted this young boy on the backside at one time and said, oh, hail, King of the Jews. And the boy looked up at him and said, I'm just a common man just like you. And he said, oh, but you won't be. He said, you know, he had a prophetic ministry, and he told him, he said, well, when you become king, he said, see that you do rightly and do justly. He said, but I know that you won't. And you know, you think sometimes we see people out in the world that seem to be so mean and so ugly and everything, and you think, well, haven't they ever heard about God, or don't they ever know about God? And I'm going to tell you what, a lot of times he's talked to them, and they're running from him, and they're, you know, he's, well, like with Josephus, what Josephus said about Mayhem, that was Herod the Great that he was talking to. Herod became king of the Jews, but he was appointed king of the Jews, and he wasn't even a Jew. You know, we talked about that last week. He actually wasn't even a Jewish person. And, you know, because the Romans had control over the Holy Land over there then, they appointed him as procurator or, you know, king or whatever over there, and he became the king of the Jews, you know, and he wasn't even a Jew, you know. Mm-hmm. And yet, and that was one of the reasons why he tried to build so many things over there. He rebuilt the temple over there and actually built it bigger and stuff than it was before, and tried to make it more grander. And he built all kind of buildings and had all kind of buildings. He was trying to make the Jews love him, you know, by all of his building projects or whatever. And they still never did like him very much, you know.
Is he the one that came out all arrayed? And that...
I believe it was.
And he was... just gleamed and shone.
Uh-huh.
And people praised him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it God was, struck him down
yeah.
with... because
Yeah.
He took the praise unto himself instead of doing God.
Giving it to God, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, see, there was more than one Herod, too.
Yeah.
Because
right.
every one of his relatives that followed him later on, he killed a lot of his sons and a lot of his own people because he didn't want anybody to, you know, to usurp his authority. Anybody he thought.
He's the one that killed all the.
All the babies, yeah. That was him.
Around the age that.
Yeah. Well, see, that was why, you know, I think why he prophesied to him and said, when you become king, see that you do rightly and do justly, you know. He said, but I know that you won't, you know. So, you know, God had let, may he know that, you know. And, you know, the thing about it is that so many times we don't realize God has a call on your life. You know, he knew you before you were in your mother's womb, you know. He knew what your purposes were. He knew you was going to go to jail. He knew you was going to do all the things that you did.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that. I mean, you know. And so many times we have a tendency that we lay heavy burdens on ourselves because of the things that we did in the past, even after we've been forgiven sometimes. We go back and kind of relive those things and say, oh, but I did this or I did that, you know. And God knew all that. He knew you were going to do all that before you ever did it. But he still loved you, and he still called you, and he knew the very day, moment, second that you would make a commitment to him. He knew it. I mean, you know, he knew it ahead of time. Now, a lot of people say, well, yeah, if God's sovereign like that, then why should I ever do anything, or why should I do that? And it kind of says that up there, you know. Then who shall lay anything to God's to man's charge? You know, if God is the one who forgives and all that kind of stuff. Well, and it says there, well, who are you, old man, to talk against God? You know what I mean? I mean, a lot of times we think we can question God and tell him, why'd you do this or why'd you do that? And we don't know his purposes and his plans for everybody in life. And sometimes he might use someone. He says over here in this one, in the first section of that 9, that for this very cause he rose Pharaoh up, you know, that his grace might be shown throughout the earth, you know, his glory. And, you know, we have to understand God's he's in control. I mean, he knows what's going on. And, you know, but I love that because he talks about, you know, in verse 22, is God willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, and endures with long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted unto destruction. Well, we don't know what happens when people get to the other side. I believe God, that he forgives them, because the forgiveness is extended to them,
mm-hmm.
you know, anyway, you know, because we believe in total reconciliation, you know, we try to teach that. But, you know, it's one of those things that we're, you know, how many times in your life have you done something, or even when God got a hold of you, and when you look back on it now, you can just see his sovereign hand having got you right in that position, you know, to where, you know, where he could get a hold of you, you know. I know with me, with, you know, having had a Christian mother and having been healed of that epilepsy, you know, when I was younger, God taking that away. I know mother used to say to me, and I hated when she'd say this because I hadn't made a commitment to the Lord when it happened. She'd say, son, don't get too entangled with the world, because someday God's going to require things of you. And I'd say, I mean, I wouldn't say anything, but I'd just groan. And I'd say, stand under my breath, please don't say that to me no more. I don't want to hear that, you know.
Because I want to do what I want to do.
But you know what? She was right. She was absolutely right. You know, and you know, the thing about my encounter with God, that happened from the time, you know, I was 12 years old, but my actual encounter with God, when I actually had a full encounter with the Lord, was when I was like about 15, you know. I was going with Margaret, and I went to bed one night, and I just couldn't go to sleep, and I was under a lot of heavy conviction, you know, and I actually prayed, and I hadn't committed my life to the Lord at that point, but I actually prayed, and I said, Lord, I said, I believe, but why can't I serve you? You know, I just couldn't let go, you know what I mean, and give my life to him. And I just kept saying that over and over. And then he showed me the vision of me standing behind the pulpit. But he also showed me a vision of everything that I was doing that was displeasing to him. And I was saying, oh boy. And I felt the anointing in that room was so strong, you know, and I mean, it was the first time I really felt the anointing of the Lord. It was just so strong. And then the next day, you know, I still felt that even when I woke up, you know, that presence of God in the room and everything. And I went up, got up, went out, started doing the same stuff I was doing before, you know. And I was about 21 the next time God started dealing with me. And the next time, he took me all the way down. You know, I got where I didn't care if I lived or died. I mean, I went that far down.
How old were you then?
I was 21 then, mm-hmm. About 20, 21. And I was married to Margaret, and we had one little girl, and I can't remember if Mark was born in yet or not. I don't think he was born yet.
Who was the oldest?
Jennifer, yeah. And I just got to the point where, I'll be honest with you, I couldn't hardly eat, I couldn't hardly work, I couldn't hardly do anything. And I had a gun up in the closet. And I thought a couple of times about going getting that gun and shooting myself. I was so miserable, I just couldn't stand it. And then finally one day I just got up and went in the bathroom. And I just knelt down in the bathroom and I said, God, I can't run from you no more. I said, I gotta have you in my life.
But
he came in. He came in strong, and he put an almost insatiable hunger for me to get into the Word. And I didn't even have a Bible, you know. I mean, I didn't have a Bible. Margaret had one of the white presentation Bibles that they give you when you go to Sunday school, and she over the years had went to church some, you know. I didn't go to church because after I got older, I quit going to church, you know, because I felt guilty whenever I go to church. I asked her, I said, is it okay if I read your Bible? And she said, yeah. And buddy, I just stayed in that thing. And I mean, I just read it. I'd come home from work, and I'd get into the Word, and I'd sit there for hours just reading the Word. And then I'd stick my finger in the page after I'd read so far, and I'd close the book. And I'd pray, and I'd say, God, I don't know what I just read. I'd say, you have to lead me, you have to guide me, you have to teach me. I just don't know what I read, you know. And buddy, he started opening things up to me about the sovereignty of God. He started opening up to me all kind of things that I didn't even hear preached for years and years to come, you know, over a period of time. And, you know, then finally, you know, I'd been riding to work with my mother every day, and she was very, very sensitive spiritually, you know. I mean, you know, when me and Mark, and I've told you all this before, but when we lived about a mile or two down the road from her. We lived on Westwood Northern Boulevard, you know, down in Cincinnati. And we'd be fussing or something, you know, arguing, or not physically doing anything, but just fussing and arguing or something over something. And we'd get a phone call or something. And she said, what's going on down there? I said, what do you mean? She said, I was in there praying, and God brought you two before me. What's happening down there?
She said, oh, nothing.
Nothing, Mother. Everything's fine. Everything's fine, you know. You know, but, you know, but when he was dealing with me about that, he hid that from her, and I rode to work with her every day, you know, because she worked in the same company I did at Cincinnati Melicron, and it was about a 35, 40-minute drive to get to work every day, you know. So we was in the car coming and going, you know. And he hid it from her. And then we used to go up her house on Sundays because she'd always cook dinner for all the kids. And we'd come up on a Sunday, you know. She always did that. And we was up there, and I'm sitting on the couch. And she says, what's going on with you? She said. And I told her, I said, well, I gave my life to the Lord. And she says, God hid that from me? She says, he hid that from me. And I said, well, she says, you know what? I guess he wanted me to keep my hands off of it. And she said, got one piece of advice for you. Learn to know God for yourself. Nobody can know him for you. And you know what? Great, that's the best piece of advice I ever got from anybody.
Oh, yes.
And that's true. You can only know God for yourself. Somebody else can't know him for you. And you know, that's why I try to point people to the Lord rather than to me or to somebody else as much as I can. And sometimes, there's times when I feel like people get upset with you because they think you should be able to give them all the answers and all that stuff. And you know, you really, they, and it's all right with young Christians for them to look up to you a little bit, but you still need to be pointing them toward the Lord,
yes.
Toward the Lord. Because what happens a lot of times with a lot of ministers, their egos get so big that they really start thinking they're something more than what they are. You know what I mean? And you know, I've heard a few ministers say things, and I've thought, you know, when I've heard them say it, I've thought, I would never say that if I was you. you're gonna be taken to the woodshed over that, you know, because they'd be puffing themselves up. Well, you know what? You can't puff yourself up. You humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he'll exalt you in due time. But you exalt yourself, and he'll humble you. And he'll humble you. He'll take you down real quick, you know. But anyway, you know, it's neat when you realize that God's in control. You know, he's not, you know, nothing catches him by surprise. You ain't done anything that he didn't know you were going to do it before you did it. Other than the fact that sometimes, you know, he'll let you know you shouldn't have done it when you was going to do it. You know what I mean? And so on and so forth. But, you know.
What was that little statement you said that Claire Reese was saying?
Yeah. God will let you believe what you need to believe to get you to where he wants you to be.
Yeah.
In other words, he'll let you even believe stuff that's not true sometimes.
Oh, and do things.
And do things that you think is the right thing, and to get you to where he wants you to be, because he'll deal with you later on down the road. And, you know, sometimes one of the hardest things to ever do in anything in the Lord is to admit that you was wrong. You know what I mean? People don't like to be wrong, you know. And you know, but if you look to him for your answers and you look to him for your teaching and stuff like that, he'll take you right down the road with things. I mean, like I say, some of the things that he opened up to me when I first got saved, I read Ephesians, the first chapter, that's the fourth chapter, I guess it is, where he talked, maybe it is the first chapter. Anyway, I read Ephesians where he talked about that he works all things after the counsel of his own will. And man, that just, it was like that just jumped off the page of me when I read it. And I thought, well, if he works all things after the counsel of his own will, then that means he's in total control of everything. And I can remember when I was a real young Christian, when I first got saved, you know, I was in a Sunday school class. And one of the elders was teaching the class, one of the old-time elders of this church. And he said something, and I said, well, you know, I said, the scripture says that he works all things after the counsel of his own will. And that guy looked at me, and he said, you can't believe that. I said, well, yeah, I do believe it. I said, that's what the word says. I said, I believe it. And you know, and next thing I know, they were wanting me to teach Sunday school. I was just a young Christian. I wasn't ready to teach Sunday school, you know. And that's something you got to be really careful about, is sticking a novice in a situation where they're not ready for it. Because what happens there is that you end up almost destroying them because they feel like they failed God, you know, if they don't continue on with it. But, you know, the neat thing about it is that... even in that situation there, you know, God had already shown me a lot of things, but he hadn't given me the ability to explain them or the ability to make other people see them. And then years down the road, I was home one night, and I had a couple different situations where the Lord spoke to me about something. One was I felt like I was in praying one time, and the Lord told me, he says, I'm going to show you something you've never seen before. And I said, okay, Lord, what is it? And he didn't tell me. And I went out, and then I felt like I was supposed to go back and pray again. And I went back later on, and I prayed again, and I said, Lord, what are you going to show me? And he still didn't tell me. And I went out, and later on I went back and prayed again, and I said, Lord, what is it you're going to show me? And I think he wanted me to get hungry enough to really pursue it.
Yeah.
See? And I felt like he said, the simplicity that's in Christ. And when he spoke that to me, everything in the Bible started getting simpler and simpler. It's not real complicated. It's very simple. You know, and sometimes even when you're explaining things and it seems like there's a multifacets to it, it's really still the very essence of the simplicity is in Christ is follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Do what God tells you to do, and do that only. You know what I mean? And if you do that, you got the rest of it down, because the rest of it will fall into place, you know, as it goes along. And then one time, I stayed home from church. I felt like I wasn't supposed to go to church that Sunday night. We were still having Sunday night services, and this was years ago. And I went in the bedroom. I felt like I was supposed to go in and pray. And I was laying on the bed, and I was praying. And I just said, Lord, I'm praising the Lord. And I basically said, Lord, here am I, you know, and all this kind of stuff. And I felt like the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I'm loosing your tongue.
The what?
I'm loosing your tongue. I'm going to loose your tongue. Loosen up your tongue. And after that, I started getting to the point where I could explain things, you know. Where before I seen them, but I couldn't explain them. And, you know, the funny thing about that is that's the one thing that most people have said to me over the years that really let me know that that's what God did. They've said, well, Oscar, when you talk about things, it's so easy to understand what you're saying, you know. And I was down at the mission one time, and Curtis brought a friend down there. No, it was Buzzy. Buzzy brought a friend down there that he worked with. It was Buzzy. And Buzzy doesn't come here anymore. But he brought a friend down there from work. And Buzzy told me, he said, that friend that I brought down there, he said, Oscar, he said, he told me later on, he said, when you was up there speaking, he said, that guy said, it was like Jesus was talking to me. And I thought,
He was.
That's what it should be. It was
like
Jesus.
Me.
You know, Jesus should be talking to us all. You know what I mean? But it was very simple, you know. And I think what I was talking about, I think what I shared that night, I think I talked about washing feet, you know, about what that actually was entailed in that. And, you know, but that's the thing about it with the Lord is that he's in control. And if we'll just understand that, you know, let's go on a little farther here, and if you guys got anything to say, just jump in any time. Don't feel like you're going to bother me at all, because it won't. And it goes on, and it says, and Isaiah also cried concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved, for he shall finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And Isaiah said, before, except the Lord had of Sabbath had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and Gomorrah, and had been made like unto Gomorrah. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel which followed after the law of righteousness hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Therefore, they sought it not by faith, but as it were by works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone, as is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And Jesus was that stumbling stone to the Jews, because the Jews had do's and don'ts, that you had to do this and do that and do something else. And literally, what the Lord really wanted you to do is walk by faith, to trust in him, to look to him, and that's what it had always been. And you know, back in the Old Testament, when it talked about Enoch, it said, and Enoch walked with God, and he was no more, for God took him. well. In other words, he walked with God. What did he do? He said, Lord, what would you have me do in this situation? What would you have me do? And that's what we need to do on a daily basis. Because if we'll say to the Lord, you know, even in our dealings out in the world, if we'll say, Lord, what would you have me do in this situation or have me do in that situation? He'll let you know. And you know, I funny thing is I had different people different times say something to me. I had a brother say, can I have some counseling with you? And I said, sure. And he was telling me of this business situation that he was in. And he said there was another brother involved in this business in the same similar situation. And he had the ability to either take the business away from that person or to back off and let the person have that business, you know. And he asked me about it, and I just kind of went within, and I was basically saying, okay, Lord, what would you have me say to him? You know what I mean? Because I don't know what to tell people. My opinion of something is not going to, it's going to be my opinion, and it's going to fall short of the truth usually. But I felt like the Lord told me to tell him, ask him a question. I said, I want to ask you a question. I says, if you back off and let this other person have this business opportunity, is it going to hurt you financially at all? And then he got real quiet, and finally he said, well, no, not really. I said, well, isn't the other guy a brother in the Lord? And they said, well, yeah. And then he said to me, how did I know you'd say that?
He already knew.
Saturday, you gotta see, that's it.
He already knew.
He already knew what he should
do.
He knew what he should do. Now, whether he did or not, I don't know. I don't know. But he knew, see. And I just went in the Lord and I said, Lord, what would you have me say to this brother? You know, and that's exactly what he told me to say to him, and that's what I said to him. And then he said, how did I know you'd say this? And I don't know if he did it or if he didn't do it. But see, we don't understand sometimes. If you offend a brother, the scripture says, they're harder won than a city.
Yeah.
In other words, if I offend you really bad, I do something to offend you, you know, and I realize, and sometimes you offend people and you don't realize you did it, you know what I mean? Because
mm-hmm.
you'll say something, but a lot of times God will deal with you later on and say, hey, you shouldn't have said what you said, you know what I mean? And then what you need to do then is go back and apologize to whoever it is and tell them, hey, I should have said what I said. But, you know, a lot of times you'll find yourself, you know, If you really do what the Lord wants you to do, you won't offend people on purpose. You won't say something that you know is going to be offensive to them. Because what the scripture says, they're harder to win than that one person than a whole city. Well, it's pretty hard to win a whole city. You know, it takes something miraculous to win a whole city. But, you know, that's why we need to watch what we say and how we treat people, you know. But you know, I love what he says here about Israel. He said, I was found of them that didn't search for me, basically. I'm just putting it in my own words. And he said, the ones that sought me through the law didn't find me, you know. Because the law was only brought in to show the exceeding sinfulness of sin. The law is wonderful, but you can't live by the law. And if you live by the law of love, which is what Jesus said, the new commandment I give you, is that you love one another, you're going to fulfill the law anyway. Because love is the highest law there is, you know, when you get down to it, because God is love. And you're showing an expression of Him when you do that, you know. You guys got anything you want to say? Jump in there if you got anything you want to say. But you know, a lot of this stuff is it's a lot more simpler than we try to make it. I mean, you can break it down, you know, you can break down the meaning of words and you can get into the real nitty gritty of all of it. And there's nothing wrong with that. And that's wonderful to do that. But the real crux of the matter is just keeping it simple, you know. And if you keep it simple, then people are going to understand it and they're going to know what you're talking about, you know. And, you know, I mean, Etta has said to me different times, haven't you said to me different times that it's so easy to understand when I tell you things? And, you know, that's what I love to hear from people, because that means it's not getting too complicated. And sometimes I get into deeper stuff and it gets a little complicated, I'm sure, you know. But, you know, we need to try to keep it, it's like the old saying, keep it simple, stupid, you know. You know, and that's what we need to do, you know. I learned a long time ago in things, you know, every day I get into a car and I put the key in the ignition and I start it and I drive down the road. But if you ask me how to explain every facet of how that car worked, I couldn't do it. I could explain a lot of it because we used to drag race, so I used to do engines apart and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't tell you a lot about the electrical system. I couldn't tell you about a whole lot of things. But am I not going to drive a car because I don't understand every little facet of that? No. Are you going to not walk with the Lord because you don't understand every little facet of His Word? Mm-hmm. And a lot of those things, you know, whether you know them or you don't, it isn't going to affect you being able to drive the car, you know. You know what I mean? And that's sort of the way it is with walking with the Lord. If you just ask the Lord on a daily basis, what would you have me do today, Lord? And if something comes up, say, Lord, go within and say, how would you have me react to this today? You know. And a lot of times, He'll have you react in an entirely different way than you wanted to react, you know. But I like Romans the 9th chapter because it's a good chapter because... you know, you can even see how Paul had he had a heartache for his people, you know, for his race, the Jewish people. And he understood that here he had been, he called himself the chief among sinners because he had persecuted the church, you know. And he was responsible basically for Stephen being stoned, you know. And he held the cloaks of them that stoned Stephen to death, you know. And yet when he had his encounter with God, what did God tell him? I'm going to show you how great of things you're going to have to suffer for my name's sake. And he did. But you know what? He knew that God was in control. He understood the sovereignty of God. He understood. Somebody's phone's ringing. Is that yours, Edda?
Yes, it is.
I tell you what, it's already past a quarter till, so we'll go ahead and close. If you will, Brenda, you can just before we do, next week, what do you guys want to do? Do you want to go back into Romans or do you want to go somewhere else? You want to go into Romans, the 10th chapter? Or?
Yeah, I'd like to go further in Romans.
Okay, let's go into the 10th chapter then. Okay.
Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the simplicity in Christ and the word that you bring forth, oh God. We so, Lord, want you to be glorified, magnified within
yes.
our lives,
Amen.
In us, to us, through us, oh God. May, Father, you be seen, not us, but you be seen, Father, that you be seen, Lord, Father, as we express love in you, Father, to all those that we come in contact with. We thank you and ask and following service, Lord, that you be glorified, Father, that you be glorified. For we ask it all. Jesus' name.
Amen.